Hey, hey, you guys, what is up? Welcome back to Gals on the Go. It is me, Brooke, and I am so excited today. We have a great episode planned. I already recorded it, actually, so I know that it's a great episode because I got to chat with Maya. We talked all about balancing finances, self-care during a pandemic, and how to take care of yourself when you feel stuck. But first, let's do our little intro. We're going to start off with our Black-owned business of the week. We're talking about a business called Shop Love Haley, or just Love Haley, if you will. Love Haley is an online boutique curated by Haley herself. Haley says, "My name is Haley James, and I'm 22 years old. I'm a sweet and sassy girl from the West Coast. I'm the founder and designer of Love Haley Clothing. I've always loved fashion and clothing since I was a little girl, so I've always dreamed of ending up in the fashion industry. Last year, in my junior year of college, I decided to start my own business." We love that. They have super cute pieces, you guys. They have like little slip dresses, vintage tees, and she was so kind, and she sent me over some like funky tops. I got one that's like an open back and one that's like one shoulder, and they're super soft. So thank you so much, Haley. So if you guys want to check them out and shop, which you definitely should, go to shoplove.com. So that's shoplovehaley.com. If you want to check her out on Instagram and all that stuff, tell her that Gals and the Ghost sent you, and definitely support. And we will now hop into our highlights and lowlights. All right, you guys. So we'll start with the low light, and I'll update you guys on something that I shared a few weeks ago. I also have my window open, so if you hear the sounds of the city, it's starting to cool down, which I will also talk about, but I just have my window open. Some fresh air feels really, really good. So an update on whatever, my sleep issues. I have never really dealt with this in my life at all. So this was the first time really that I was struggling with falling asleep, staying asleep, getting a full night's rest. I feel like I would wake up in the middle of the night and then not be able to fall back asleep, or it would take hours for me to even fall asleep and get comfortable and like my mind to shut off, which I've never really dealt with this. I don't know, especially when I take a melatonin or something, which I'm trying to ease off of those two for sure. But I just normally don't struggle with that sort of thing. So they are definitely continuing. I know a few of you guys wrote in your recommendations, and I'm definitely taking some of them. Like, I'm trying to do less screen time before bed. And everyone tells me I need to get into meditation more, just like mindfulness meditation. So I'm definitely going to try that out. But it really hasn't improved like too much. I mean, some nights are better. Like, I feel like I'll have one night that I'll be like, oh, I slept through the night, it's amazing. And then the next night it's like trash. So that is something that I'm still suffering with. But I guess it ties in with the highlight, which is overall, I'm just taking care of myself, you guys. I'm super excited. I started therapy finally. Again, I know I've been talking about it for the longest time and saying, I'm going to do it. Brief history. The last time I ever talked to a therapist was around high school time, going into college. And I just feel like I didn't really vibe with my therapist much. I just feel like we were on just her recommendations and stuff. They just seemed so far off. And I guess like, yeah, that's what in general, like, yeah, you're going to get people like that and whatever. But I know it's so important to make sure that you find a therapist that you like. So I found one who I really love her. I'm so excited. She's New York based, but it's virtual right now. And I know it's such a privilege to be able to talk to someone, but it's only been one session. And I'm like writing notes, you know, as we do it, and like lessons learned and stuff that I definitely plan to share with you guys, maybe on YouTube or something, because I know that therapy advice can be expensive, but if I can learn things that change my life, I obviously want to share them with you guys. So that was fantastic. And that's helping me too. I like when I first wrote into her and was like, I'm looking for a therapist, I wrote in about the sleep issues and just like general stresses of life and stuff. And I think that's the thing. Like, you don't have to have a specific thing that you're really like looking to tackle. I mean, for me, I guess, yeah, I was like, oh, I'm having some sleep issues, but, and I just moved to New York and like pandemic. So I had a few things, but you don't need to have anything specifically to want to talk to someone, you know? Of course, if you do have specific issues you want to tackle, then it's even more important. But if you just want to talk to someone just to kind of talk to someone and work through things, whatever it may be, I think it's really nice and a great option. I know for the longest time, I was just dumping my issues on my friends and family, which Maya and I actually talk about in this episode. And that's not the best strategy. So, I mean, yeah, your friends and family should be there to support you. But, like, then it's heavy for them. I don't know. Like, it's not necessarily their burden to carry all of your problems. I get it. Like, if you're looking for advice and stuff. But I feel like getting an outsider's opinion is really, really nice. So I'm very excited about that. It's virtual right now. I feel like it would be nice if I was, like, in the office. I feel like I would take it, like, a little more seriously and stuff. But it still is. I'm just so thankful to have somebody. Another highlight, the weather's cooling down. Another highlight, I went on an actual decent date this week, you guys. So there's a lot of reasons for me to be thankful, way more reasons for me to be thankful than stressed. So I'm trying to focus on the good, but of course that's natural and that's human nature to have the good and the bad. And I think that's what's really important to emphasize. You know, it doesn't necessarily need to all be good. I think we're all dealing with good and bad all the time. So very, very thankful. But now we'll get into a current favorite.
These are a few of my favorite things. Call myself one of my favorite things.
My current favorite. It's basically everything from this website, but specifically the earrings are amazing. So the website is Shop Amoriana. She has the best jewelry. Her name is Anna. I love her. So I connected with her first on Instagram. She was like, hey, I'm a subscriber. Can I send you some jewelry? I get a lot of jewelry sent to me, you guys. And I'm not even that big of a jewelry gal. Like, I wear the same rings every day, pretty much the same necklace every day. So I guess really the only thing I really switch out is my earrings. And I'm pretty particular because I have like one of my earring holes is like closer to the bottom. I got it when I was like younger and, I think I was moving when I got it or something. So it's pretty like low, if that makes sense. So if I wear a heavy earring, it really drags it down. So I try to be careful and wear like lightweight stuff, like usually pretty good quality, but I don't want to break the bank. Like that's, I want to spend a reasonable amount so that it looks nice, but it doesn't need to be, you know, I feel like people shop from those like expensive, I mean, I have expensive rings and other things, I guess. So who am I to talk? But I just don't see the purpose in spending that on earrings specifically. So I love her stuff because it's gold plated, like good quality. So your skin isn't gonna have any funky reactions. I mean, I wouldn't wear it all in the shower, but like I've definitely accidentally worn a pair of them in the shower and they haven't rusted yet. I have the two really cute pairs of hoops that I'm looking at right now. So you guys should definitely go check her out. And the inventory is always changing. So it's Shop Amoriana, so it's AMORIANA on Instagram. She has such cute stuff. Like I said, her stuff is always turning over. I know she's killing it on TikTok and stuff right now too. And it's amazing, like when you do your hair, put on like a light makeup look and like a nice gold hoop or like gold earring, and you're like, wow, I look pretty good, especially when I need to do things that I'm just like, I need to look cute from the chest up. Like if I'm interviewing someone for the show or if I am doing like Skype calls or whatever. I guess, I don't know why I said Skype, like Zoom. Yeah, any of that sort of thing. Or just taking pictures. Usually it's, you know, just the top half of me that has to look decent. So that is what I do. Or if I'm filming, I guess. Yeah. So I love her stuff. And it just makes me feel cute. And like I said, you don't have to break the bank by doing it. So before we get into the episode with Maya, where we talk about a really big focus of the episode is self-care. But I feel like when I say self-care, it's not the traditional sense of like face masks and like healthy and like clean eating and stuff like that, which I believe is a part of self-care. But we really go into just like the basic foundational things of that a lot of people, probably myself included, probably you guys too, like may have lost during the pandemic, just like in taking care of yourself, you know, because we're all going through this in our own way. And I think we need to be a little more gentle to ourselves, which is actually my show. So she has a podcast called Gentler and it's all about practical self-care. I was on there too. So I'll link that in the show notes. I was on her episode this week. We go into a lot of different things and whatever. But I wanted to kind of share on my show before we get into it with Maya, some practical self-care things I do when I'm having a bad day or whatever. I think we should always be putting ourselves first. I try to live my life that way. But sometimes you get to that point where you're running on empty. And I'm the first to say, like, I'm such a proponent of that idea. You can't pour from an empty cup. So if you're like running on empty and, you know, your friends and family are expecting things from you or work or whatever it may be, you can't give. So that's why you have to do these things to kind of recharge yourself and fill back up. And I know everybody's idea, like I said, of self-care is different. I personally, for me, it's, you know, a lot of times it is just relaxing, watching TV or like a YouTube video or something. But here are some other things that I do that to me really are things that recharge me and make me feel good, if that makes sense. So first off is getting off my phone, specifically recently. Really pandemic on, just social media for me. And I go through phases with it for sure, but it's just been a really negative place for me. Of course, there's so many of you guys who write me and like say the most kind things and really light me up and it makes me feel so good. But of course, just, and there's just negativity, I guess, in news and all that stuff. And I think it's really important to be an informed citizen, of course, but, it gets to a point where, especially like before you go to bed, when you first wake up in the morning, like we shouldn't be scrolling on our phone. But if you're just like, especially having a rough day, you know, if you're dealing with self-comparison or you're just struggling, I know I'll catch myself in a bad mood. Sometimes I'm like, why am I in a bad mood? Oh, probably because I was triggered by something I saw on Instagram 5 minutes ago. And I have to make that connection. But I know it's easier said than done to like, oh, put your phone away, because then like, ding, you get a text notification and you're going to pick it up again and start scrolling. But something that keeps me off my phone is reading. So I've been reading again recently, and it's nice because it keeps your brain stimulated. You're engaged in someone else's story. I personally like reading from like a hard copy book, but I know people love their Kindles and things like that. And it just keeps me engaged and it makes me feel like I'm doing something. But like I said, I'm so, so offline. So I've been trying to do that before bed. That also like will definitely help with sleeping and stuff like that too. And yeah, I mean, you could say like put on the blue light glasses, but it's not even about like the blue light in that case. It's just about unplugging. And like, I know people set time limits on their apps. I personally don't do that. I probably should. It's not even about one specific app though, because like I feel like for me, like texting isn't the problem. It's like Instagram, Twitter, like just other forms of social media. But oh, I didn't even say in the highlights, I got verified on Twitter this week. That was pretty cool. So I wasn't expecting that. I like just had a random moment where I like went on Twitter. I was like, wow, this is pretty cool. So anyways, but yeah, social media can be a lot sometimes, especially when it is your job. So even if you guys, even if it's not your job, it's a lot. But if you work in the space or you do social media for a company or something and you feel like you constantly have to be on it, you're constantly consuming content, it's a lot. Oh gosh. All right. So next is getting fresh air. I know when I'm having a really, really bad day, it's hard to even get off the couch, let alone get out of bed or any of that stuff. But if you can, you know, open your windows even, or step outside even for a little bit. I know sometimes it's pushy to be like, go for a walk or whatever. A walk always does make me feel better, but even if it could just be a, you know, breathing outdoor air, and I guess on that note, I didn't even talk about, oh my gosh, I feel for all of you guys who are dealing with all of the fires on the West Coast. I'm thinking of you. And I'm really like, you guys are my thoughts every single day. I have a lot of friends over there and it's scary, man. So I guess I'm so sorry about this tip for you guys, because obviously you're supposed to stay inside and not absorb the air. But for us on the, where it's a little bit safer, I guess that's something that I definitely focus on, breathing some fresh air. And just it's like nice in a way to remind myself that when I get caught up in my own little world and my stresses, that like the world is so much bigger. And I feel like going for a walk, or you know, realizing that the world is like just the outside world, helps that too. Next up, similar but different, if you have a car. I don't anymore. Well, I do still, I guess. It's at home, like in my hometown. But when I did have a car, go for a drive. Doesn't need to be a huge like road trip sort of deal, but even just a nice, like you say, I'm gonna, you know, go out for 20-30 minutes, listen to some music, listen to a podcast. It gets you once again off your phone and it kind of frees your mind. Of course you want to pay attention to the road, so don't get too distracted. But I find for me that was always like, can I use the word therapeutic? It always really healed me. That was just like a habit that I kind of got into from high school on. So now it still is something that like I do, and it reminds me of those times when I would, you know, just be like, hey, I'm gonna like, you know, do a little escape thing. And it makes me feel better, especially when the weather is so beautiful like it is now in the 60s and you could roll the windows down and just do your thing. Especially blasting some positive music, that's what helps me. When I put on like, I love my good feels, you know, even Taylor Swift recently, but it, man, sometimes I'm like, I catch myself getting in sad mood. I'm like, oh, probably from the music I'm listening to. So definitely keep that in mind. If you're going to like blast some tunes, maybe something a little positive, at least, find a good playlist on Spotify or something. Next up is gratitude. This is not something new. It's something I talk about, I feel like, on the show a lot. And it's important. So it's just the idea of just being thankful for things in your life. And you could even think about it or write it down. I know when I'm having an especially bad day, it helps me to make a huge list of, you know, I'm so thankful for my parents, my brother, my friends, my beautiful apartment, like whatever it is. Like I just literally go down the list, my health, my family's health. You can make a list. I know it may seem like you're at a, even if you're at the toughest point, there's something you could be thankful for. I'm thankful to have woken up today. You know, I'm thankful for the dogs exist, if you like dogs or cats or whatever it is. That is something that to me makes me feel better, I guess, because it could feel like, you know, you have like the pressures of the world are on you and like everybody's against you, but you could, I'm telling you, like in rooting a lot of things in gratitude, it makes me at least feel a little bit better. So maybe that would help out some of you guys. I don't know. Next up is, you guys know I also love to call people, especially because I live alone. So I spend a lot of my time, like if I'm talking with other people, it has to be over FaceTime or calling. But this is a good way to switch it up. And this is something I'm trying to do, because normally I'll call my mom or Mariah or someone and be like, hey, here are all my problems. Haha, listen. But instead of dumping all of my problems on them, I am trying to listen and be a good friend or child or sibling if I'm calling my brother who's at school or something, and just listen and just have a nice conversation. And, you know, don't make the focus of the conversation on you, but make it on them. And then you get kind of involved in their world. And it seems like your problems kind of slowly melt away because you're, you know, dealing with, like, you're just talking to somebody else. And like, not only does it feel good to catch up with someone that you love, but it also, you're also like doing your part in, like I said, you know, being a good friend, child, sibling, whatever it is to that person. That kind of reminds me of when we had Audrey on the show, and she said when she kind of like changed her life, that was one of the things she focused on. Instead of like being more self-focused, she like focused, you know, on those people in her life. And I feel like that's a really, really good tip. And that's definitely something that I've been doing recently. And it's easy, I think, to get caught up in your own world and be like, accidentally doing these things. So just keep it front of mind, I guess. And last but not least, this is also not a hot take, like I said, just watching an old familiar show. I love my reality TV just as much as the next one, like Big Brother. Oh, Dancing with the Stars is back. I love it. I actually have never watched Dancing with the Stars, so this is the first time that I am, I watched it in like middle school or something. And I know Hannah Brown was on it last year, so it's kind of like, why didn't I watch it last year? I don't really know. But I really enjoy watching those shows. They also, you know, take me out of my own current reality, and like I feel like I could be engaged in something else. But something about watching a show that, or a movie that you've watched before, it feels really comforting and it feels safe in a weird way. So if I'm having an especially challenging day or I need to give myself a little bit of extra love, that's usually what I do. And of course, you know, self-care can take a bunch of different routes. You can say, you know, take a bubble bath, take a shower, like cook up a healthy meal, and like those are all 1000% self-care things too. And do it, you know, take care of yourself, do what works for you. But like I said, some days it's tough to get out of bed, some days it's tough to leave the couch, and that's okay. I don't think we need to be in this flow of like, especially right now, oh, we need to be so productive, keep going, keep doing more. And I get those comments sometimes, like what that will, you know, infer or suggest that I'm lazy or something. And it's honestly, it makes me very sad, because you never know what people are going through that they don't share. And I think that's something that we all need to remember too. There's a lot of things that go on offline. It's not even about me specifically, because like I know my truth and I know I'm living my life and I am doing just fine. But I think we need to keep that in mind too. And we're all living through a pandemic. Even if your job hasn't been affected or your life hasn't been affected, or I don't know, if you're still going on strong, hats off to you, congrats to you. But we are all in some way changed because of this. And that is okay. We don't need to be operating at 100% efficiency like maybe you were 7 months ago right now. So give yourself a little bit of a break, take a breath, and remember that everybody, like I said, everybody's struggling in their own ways. So it's okay if you know, are having a bad day, week, month, whatever. Of course, talk to someone, you know, don't just hold everything in. I think that's really important too. I've been victim to that, where I'm like a silent struggler, you know, where I'm dealing with things and I just don't tell anybody and I hold it all in, and then it bottles up and it comes to the surface one day and I have like a breakdown, and that's not cool. So, you know, talk about it, get it out, whatever. But trust me, we've all been there. We've all had those days where it's tough to leave bed, the house, whatever it is. So I hear you. And hopefully one of those things can help you. I mean, that's just what I do. I'm not trying to like be out here giving advice or whatever. But Maya kind of goes into that and more in this episode. So I'm really excited. I hope you guys enjoy. And I hope that you guys maybe learn something. We're going to get into some financial stuff too, like her best tips for budgeting. You guys always ask for budgeting stuff. So really excited about that. And then, like I said, just starting, she refers to self-care as like a pyramid. So we go into like literally the basics of self-care and just taking care of yourself and so much more. So welcome Maya to the show. Hope you guys enjoy. Okay, guys, I'm so excited. I'm sitting now here with Maya. Hello, how are you?
I'm good. How are you doing?
Doing great. I'm so excited to have you here on Gals on the Go today. I think we have a great lineup of topics planned. But first, if you want to just tell our audience a little bit about you, if they have no idea who you are, you know, like your background, where you grew up, all that stuff.
Yeah, so I'm Maya Fleming. I was born and raised in rural Arkansas, and then ended up in D.C. to go to Georgetown for college, and have been like blogging and all of that stuff for probably like since junior high school. I feel like everyone around our age has tried something like that. And then,
oh, totally.
Yeah, like, and then I graduated from school and post-grad life hit me like a sack of bricks, basically. I really, really needed not only a creative outlet, but I felt like I needed to take control of my life. And I had a moment a couple of years before where I really got turned on to just intentional self-care by way of like manifestation and law of attraction stuff, but the self-care element really stuck with me. And so one night when I was just not feeling life at all, I pulled out my phone and I just kind of gave myself a pep talk and put it up as the first episode of Gentler. And now I have a podcast all about intentional and practical self-care and kind of every way that that influences my life, especially finances.
That's amazing. So it really did start like organically, like basically you talking to yourself.
Yeah, I've been telling people that whole weekend, like, or I've been saying for years, really, like, I want to have a podcast, but I don't really know what I want to talk about. And one weekend, it kind of like, I was like, this is what I'm going to talk about. Like, I need to hear this just as much as anyone else. So I'm going to just do this. And it's going to be a way of keeping myself accountable for creating my best life. Like, if I can sit down and figure out a strategy that I'm doing and then every week be responsible for sharing it, like, I feel like I can do so much good in just my own life at the very least. And it didn't start out like regular. Like, I wasn't putting out episodes every week, but over time, as I got more feedback and people started saying like, hey, I love when you talk about XYZ topic, I got more into it and I just really wanted to try things.
That's so cool. It's an interesting space, the podcasting space. I wanted to ask you, because you said you kind of found that realm of manifestation, law of attraction, self-care, and it changed your life. How did you go about like finding that? I feel like a lot of people, you know, of course people say the internet, but like, did you read a book or something that changed your life?
So I watched The Secret. I think everyone like watched The Secret. I watched it in like 2017, I think. And I was just totally in awe. And I was like, oh my God, this is amazing. And I grew up Christian. So my mom would always tell me like, you know, if you ask for what you want, you'll have it. If you set your mind to something, you'll get it. So I kind of already had those ideas, but The Secret is what really just made me think like, wow, amazing. And then I just kind of like forgot about it. And I was actually studying abroad in Australia. And it was so cool, but I had this weird health issue come out of nowhere. So,
oh no.
Like, I just kept spending, like, I was bleeding money just in hospital and doctor bills because my eye just stopped working all of a sudden. And I was so, like, just down and out because I was broke now and, like, my eye, like, I couldn't see out of my left eye. And I was just like, what am I going to do? I'm in Australia. Like, this is the worst situation ever. And I think like Desperate Times Call for Desperate Measures, and The Secret was on Netflix at the time, so I watched it again and I was just like, okay, like, I gotta get into this. And I think I just went down like the internet rabbit hole, like learning more about manifestation and law of attraction. And I think at that time it did help me as far as mindset stuff goes, and I really became like aware of the power that my emotions and things have on my actions. So that's when I kind of first started thinking about self-care. But I wasn't really grasping the action part of it all. I still kind of saw the law of attraction as some magical thing. And so when it wasn't working for me, I would get really frustrated. But I did I did a lot of good through it, and like started a business and was able to sustain myself for the rest of my time in Australia. And it was really great. But I think I still wasn't really, it wasn't really clicking a lot of it until I graduated and had to have like that second dose of like life and just relearn it all over again.
Yeah, I find that a lot of people come to those sort of ideals when they're at a low point. I mean, mm-hmm. I know for me, you know, when you're in a period of your life, I've had several where I feel like I have to turn to ulterior sources, I guess, for inspiration. So I guess I totally relate to that. Going back to college now, because you talked a little bit about Georgetown. Yeah. I want to hear, how did you decide on Georgetown, and like tell us about your experience there?
Yeah, so it's funny because I went to a little tiny high school in rural Arkansas, like I said. Like, my grandparents went to that school, and my parents, and like if you, I one time I was opening up old library or old yearbooks in the library, and the first page I opened it up to was like a full page spread of my mom as homecoming queen. So it was like kind of one of those schools where like knew everyone. I was a cheerleader, and it was really fun, but I think academically I wasn't being challenged, so I really wanted to go to this boarding school a few hours away, and I did, and I loved it, but I was really missing like the down home, like rural Friday night lights element of high school. So I knew I really wanted to go to state school for college. I wanted to go to University of Arkansas or UT Austin. I had grown up in Texas as well, so I wanted to go back and all of that, but my mom really wanted me to apply to Georgetown and go, and I was like, I don't want to, it doesn't sound very fun. Like, I want to go to football games and like put tattoos on my cheeks and do that whole thing. And I actively tried to not get in. Like, I purposely left off pieces of my application and like things like that.
Oh, you really tried.
I really did not want to go at all. And so I ended up getting in, and it was a surprise. I think a lot of it that was stopping me from wanting to apply was just this fear that I wouldn't get in. So I was like, if I can sabotage my application, then me getting a rejection letter won't be because I'm not smart enough. It was because I controlled it and made it happen. So I ended up getting in. It was a shock. And then the financial element came in, and Georgetown's terribly expensive. Oh, my God. Like, I think by the time I graduated, it was like $70,000 a year.
Oh, my gosh.
Like, it's disgusting. But I'm low income, so a lot of scholarships came through and all of that. And I really didn't have to pay anything for it. But it was just a lot of, like, mental and mindset blocks to jump over to make myself, like, able to do that. And so I went. I had an amazing time. I went to visit one weekend during senior year of high school, and a lot of the people I met that weekend ended up being my best friends that I spoke to for the rest of the 4 years. It was amazing. I mean, I think at any university you're going to find your pros and cons, but I am really grateful for the community that I met at Georgetown, and I love the D.C. area. I haven't left yet. I just graduated in 2019, so it's not like I've been here for ages, but I've loved it so far. And I'm really appreciative of just being able to, like I really, I'm so glad that I didn't just listen to my fear and not apply, or, like, I'm glad I didn't ruin that despite my best efforts, and I'm glad I took a chance on it, for sure.
Yeah, that was very inspiring, for sure. Can you talk a little bit about your college experience now?
Yeah.
Like, what was your major? What did you get involved with? I feel like just campus life in general.
Yeah, so I started out in the School of Business, actually. And I like the idea of studying in business, but I think in practice it just wasn't doing it for me. Like, I was failing my accounting class. It was at 8 a.m. I couldn't do it. Like, I was just like, I don't know what's going on. I was a straight A student all throughout school, so that just really hit me hard, and freshman year kind of sucked because of it. So after freshman year, I switched to English, and I was kind of nervous because, like, you hear all the time, people don't make money studying English, and what are you going to do with that? And I knew I really wanted to study film as well, so I started studying English and film.
Cool.
Yeah, it was really fun. I got involved with an organization that helps with literacy in lower-income communities, and I still, actually, that's my full-time job now, so that was really cool. Yeah. I found it freshman year, worked with them all throughout college, and now I'm, like, managerial staff for that at a different university, but same program. So really cool. Also got involved with a really cool, like, feminist lit mag called Bossier at Georgetown. It was really, really fun. I got to be, like, kind of in the first group of staff for that. So it was so fun, like, seeing something being built from the ground up and being able to inspire, like, people all over the place. Elaine Welteroth, who was the editor-in-chief of Teen Vogue at the time, got a hold of our magazine and, like, edited it all up and down for us, and that was, like, such an amazing moment. Yeah, what else? I always love, like, the peppy like stuff. So I did like new student orientation and like all
I love that
crazy stuff. I really just tried to get involved with everything, like some political groups, some mentorship programs. I just really have always loved like leadership sides of things, mm-hmm. and steering in new people. I knew all throughout college that I was someone who had to be so heavily swayed to go to Georgetown. So I was like, if I can grab a hold of someone who's just thinking about it a little bit and just give them that final push, I can kind of pay it forward.
So true. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. I think that's great that you're super involved. I think for a lot of people, they struggle finding a place because they can't kind of find something to plug themselves into. So I think it's important to try a lot of different things.
Yeah,
so I
especially really respect freshman year. Yeah, I tell people all the time, like, just try things freshman year. Like, you're going to cut it down significantly after that. But, like, just try things out. Like, see what you like. Like, I had no idea that I wanted to study English and film and all that until I just kind of tried it.
Mm-hmm. And then I guess tell us what you just kind of mentioned a little bit about your full-time job now, but immediately after college, did you take that full-time job or was it a different job? Talk about, like, I know post-grad's so stressful.
So I was incredibly stressed senior year of college. Like, I just had no idea what I wanted to do. I really thought I wanted to jump into the film industry. And I was meeting really great people. Like, I met and had a couple of meetings with the head of Disney Plus, or the head of like, original programming. Sorry, I left that part out.
No, that's still so cool. It was like,
yeah, and that was before Disney Plus was a thing. It was kind of like this rumored like thing. So it was super cool. And I met with people like that. I spent my spring break in New York City, like meeting up with people and doing informationals. And I just had a great time. But the more and more I start hearing about it, like, I was like, I don't know if I really want to do this. It was kind of at the height of the Me Too movement and like hearing about all the horrors of Hollywood. And I had someone tell me, like, oh, you know, like, it really comes down to how long you're willing to sit in an empty apartment eating mac and cheese. And, you know, you're a pretty girl, so you'll do fine. Just doll yourself up. And I was like, I don't want to do, like, that just, like, I don't want to do that. I don't know. It just was really worrying to me. So I graduated, and all the decisions that were awaiting were just overwhelming. So I just made myself kind of make one decision and fall in line with it. So I leased my apartment, and everyone around me was like, are you sure? Like, you don't really have anything lined up, and now you're going to be locked into a lease. And I was like, yeah, because I think by having the lease, I'll make myself lock some other things in. Like, my spirit or whatever will be like, you got to do something now. You got to make some stuff happen. So I got a summer job at a summer camp as a filmmaking counselor. Mm-hmm. And it was fun. It was really cool. I love forming connections with people. So if I can have a good group of coworkers, like, I'm good. And like, we spent time like all day, every day. And it was really fun. Didn't pay much at all. I think it was minimum wage, but it paid my rent and it gave me some time to really think about what I wanted to do. And I had already applied. So the job I have now, I think I applied to it like in March before graduating. And I never heard anything back. And I knew I was kind of perfect for the position. So it was kind of like, not to say like, not to be like conceited or anything. Like, I genuinely just was a perfect fit for it. I had done the program all throughout college, all of that. I was like, I can do this. And found out that the reason I did not get my like email for my phone interview was because I had a typo in my email address. So everyone, like, have your resumes proofread by like a million people before you send them out. Like, please don't be like me. So I reached out to the manager on LinkedIn, and she explained to me what happened. I was like, oh crap, that sucks. And I just was kind of like, I don't know what I'm going to do. Like, camp is ending soon. If I don't have a job by this date and I'm not like sitting at my desk, like getting ready to be paid in 2 weeks, I'm not going to be able to do this. And just out of nowhere, she messaged me back like 2 months later and was like, are you still interested in this job? The person that we originally hired fell through and we're looking for someone else. It was like incredible. And I was like, of course, yes. So we went through the process. And I think throughout all of that, I just kind of learned that whatever is for me is going to happen for me, despite my best efforts. Like, I got the job. It was just like getting into Georgetown, even though I ruined everything with that. Like, it was just, you know, like, what's for you is going to happen regardless of what you do or what anyone else does. Of course, that doesn't mean be reckless. You should definitely practice best judgment with things, have your resume checked. But like, what's going to happen is going to happen.
So let's talk about like side hustles. Is that what you refer to them as?
Yeah, I do. I have been doing side hustles forever because, like I said, I was in Australia with no money. Like, I had to figure out something. So I've tried like just about everything: freelance photography, freelance writing, videography, video editing, virtual assisting. I love to do things online if I can just like stay online and do things, web development, strategy sessions. I've done so much. Babysitting, of course. I think like I've always done babysitting. I never got into like dog walking and things because that just scared the daylights out of me. But like,
I feel that.
Everything else, I have always tried because I love to just have. For me, it was really helpful, even though I didn't have any real bills. I love doing things like getting my nails done and stuff like that. And if I knew that I could make the extra money to get my nails done without having to worry about my regular part-time job, then that made a side hustle worth it to me. And I could tell myself, like, okay, this kid is screaming his lungs out, but I'm getting my nails done on Friday with this money. So, like, just grin and bear it. You're going to have a fresh manicure. But I think they gave me a lot of control, like having multiple streams of income. I was blessed enough to have keep my job during the pandemic and everything. But there were times where I wasn't sure, and I wasn't sure if I was going to keep a job. And universities have been struggling everywhere because of having to send students home and all of that. So having side hustles, even if I don't devote a lot of time to them right now, like it's just been so helpful in putting my mind at ease.
Definitely.
And I would totally recommend to anyone, just have at least one extra thing you can do. Like, spend an afternoon on Skillshare, learn Photoshop, learn, like, Final Cut or Premiere, do something, and just have that in your back pocket for when you need it.
So with all of those things that you mentioned, you know, the development strategy, et cetera, you're self-taught, basically, from like, a website like Skillshare or, like, online resources, mostly?
Yeah, so I studied film, like I said, but I was already doing, like, editing stuff before, like, my coursework began. So I did learn a lot through school, obviously, with that. But really the only thing I learned through school was, like, Premiere and Final Cut, like, the actual nitty-gritty strategy. But a lot of it, like, everything else is self-taught. Photoshop, Illustrator, like, all that stuff. Web design, it's all... I had to learn it, so I learned it.
Yeah. Well, good for you. I feel like you do like a little bit of everything, which I love. I totally agree with what you said, streams of income. I think it's so important, especially I feel like everyone realized it in the pandemic. You know, the stability of any job was questioned. It doesn't matter, you know, what your position is in the company. If you're the vice president or if you're just like the most recent hire, I think anybody was kind of stressed. So it taught us we need to increase our number of streams of income and like the amount of money from each of those. So I totally agree with that. So I guess we'll transition a little bit into finances then, just because I know that this is a hot topic with, like I told you before, a lot of our listeners are high school, college age. And I think for a lot of us in our early 20s and beyond, whenever money is just, it's a tough topic, specifically budgeting. So I would love to hear about your kind of personal journey with money. Do you budget? What's your strategy? I feel like you have good advice on this.
So my personal journey with money was a rocky one. I grew up low income, like I mentioned. So I was always kind of used to having stress around money and knowing or having this feeling that there wasn't enough of money for everyone around. Like I just felt like it was a limited resource and there was never going to be enough. And when you believe things like that, you find ways to make it true, even if it's not entirely true in your reality. Like mindset's so powerful. Like what we believe, like just can really dictate everything in front of us. So I went through whatever, got to college, didn't really have a super strong budget at all. Like it was really non-existent. I was really big into learning about financial literacy, but then never applying anything that I learned. So I could tell you all about like credit cards and what goes into a credit score and like how, like what different methods there were to budgeting and Dave Ramsey's baby steps and all that stuff, but like I never actually did any of it, and I always felt so like stupid each time I found myself being broke again. And then Australia happened and I'm broke and I'm just like, what am I gonna do? And I still felt like I was making terrible money decisions and I wasn't budgeting at all. And I think what really the issue was, looking back, I wasn't finding a budget that worked for me, and I felt like I was denying myself. And so I still was reinforcing this idea that there's not enough money, that there's not enough money for me to have the things I enjoy. I have to give up the fun things in life. Like, life has to suck if you're going to have financial freedom and financial stability, and that's not true at all. So once I graduated, I had this moment, like I said, and part of it that went into it was just feeling like I was still broke. Like I was making a full-time salary and like had benefits and all this stuff, a really nice apartment, and I still felt like I was a freshman in college, like waiting for my little baby paycheck to hit from my work study job. Like it just all was really sucking. And so I sat down and just had like a come to Jesus moment with myself. And I was like, you gotta, like, there's no reason why you should still be broke. You're making all of this extra money. So I really sat down and prioritized what I really wanted from my money. And like what I wanted to be able to do. I knew I wanted to be able to pay rent comfortably. I never wanted to sit down and like wonder if I was getting evicted. That sucks. That's a horrible feeling. And I didn't have to feel that way. I made too much money to be worrying about paying rent. I also wanted to be able to hang out with my friends and see my friends. I wanted to have coffee when I wanted and get my nails done. And I realized that, you know, a lot of the stuff I said I wanted, I didn't have to spend the money that I was spending to get it. If I really want to see my friends, I can see my friends in my apartment and we can drink wine, have like a movie night. Or totally. We can go hang out at the park or something. And being in D.C. is really cool because a lot of the museums and stuff are free. So you can really just hang out and not spend any money. Yeah, so it was really awesome. You know, if I want coffee every day walking into work, I don't have to get that coffee from Starbucks every morning. Like, I can fight that urge and just do it differently. I'm not denying myself of anything. I get to still have all those things. I just go about it differently because now my goals are a little bit bigger than me. Now it's not so much just save because you should save because Dave Ramsey and your grandparents said so. Now it's save because I want to do this thing later, or I want to be able to relax when it comes time to pay my rent and not worry about like if it's going to be paid on time. So I think the biggest thing was creating a spending plan that aligned with my values and understanding that it was all helping me, that saving money and cutting back on some things was not a punishment for me doing wrong. It was more so a cushion for me to breathe a little bit, because life always will have moments that are unexpected and that you can't account for. Like, I just got a dog and she was potty training and peed all over my carpet. So my apartment charged me extra for carpet cleaning. And being able to like take that expense and just be like, oh, okay, we'll do better next time without worrying like, oh my God, this is going to ruin my budget. That's like, that's invaluable for me. So being able to have those moments of relief around money is really key. And that all just came from sitting down, deciding what I wanted, and then making a budget accordingly. And I just follow like a regular budget, just typical like I think I actually found it on Natalie Barbu's site, but
yeah
so like I love it, like but Pinterest has templates and all that too. I think the biggest thing for me was just the mindset shift.
That's awesome. That was a great like full circle story. I feel like a lot of people relate to that, and I think the biggest struggle for many is I don't know where to start. Like you said, it seems unrealistic because you're like, I don't want to give up my pizza nights or like whatever it is, like with your friends and stuff, right? Like that. And I guess what you're saying is you don't have to, you just have to, you know, figure out ways that you can compromise in other areas or whatever.
Go about it a little bit differently. Still like just downgrade a little bit, like have that same thing that you want. And then as you're like, cause what you're doing is getting in the habit of having those nice things that you want. I would never tell anyone to like wait until you're rich before you start enjoying life, because the fact of the matter is you might never get rich, and that's fine. Like if you can still have those moments without making a certain income bracket, having a certain income does not make you more worthy of happiness. Like you should be able to find those ways like now and not put it off for later, because even if you don't get rich, you'll feel better. You'll be more inclined to make more money. That's what I feel like. Oh my gosh.
It's okay. So cute. She's adorable.
Thank you. Someone like is walking in my apartment, so she's doing
no, you're
that,
good. But, you're good.
So that's what I had to learn in Australia, was that I was never going to, because there were days where I couldn't get up and like go find a job or like go to class. I was so depressed and sad about the situation. So I really had to find ways to enjoy life now to kind of give myself that boost and that push. And that's where self-care played into it. So for me, self-care and finances are always like going hand in hand, because if I don't feel good about my current life, I'm not going to be inspired to go try new things and put forth my best effort at work and do anything that's required, because money is needed to have anything in life, unfortunately. Like that's the society that we live in. But if it sucks to earn money, if you feel terrible about money all the time, like life is just going to suck. So you have to find ways to also have some happiness and some gratitude to go along with it.
Yeah, I completely agree with what you said about finances. I think it's so, like, in this world, so often it's so easy to be like, money doesn't matter. It does, unfortunately. I mean, obviously, it gets to a certain point where, like, it stops mattering, but you need to be able to pay your rent and eat dinner. I mean, come on. Like, these are just basic things that, like, so I totally agree, because I actually, I've left my traditional job, and that was a huge factor of me. I was like, the financial security involved is a huge factor of the decision. You can't lie or pretend that it doesn't exist. It's like, of course that exists.
Yeah, exactly.
So I wanted to talk a little bit. I know you tied it into the finances. You said a little bit about self-care. Mm-hmm. I know you use the term financial self-care a little bit.
Yeah.
So I'm curious how those two kind of play in together. What is that to you?
Yeah. So for me, financial self-care is anything that gets me closer to my ideal money state. And the ideal money state for me, like, it varies from person to person for sure. But I think there are some key things that go along with it for everyone. Like you said, being able to pay rent, being able to cover your expenses, having some money saved up that could help you in a time of need. Those are big that I think work for everyone. But, you know, for me, I really want to be able to help people. Like, especially like this summer, we've seen so many opportunities for us to financially support other people. Mm-hmm. And not everyone has that ability to do so. Like, not everyone has extra money to share and all that. Mm-hmm. I really want to get to a place where I can donate freely without worrying about anything. I also really want like frivolous things, like being able to go and have an outing with my friends or pay for whatever, live in a certain place. That's all really important. So financial self-care is anything that gets me closer to that. And the self-care element just comes from, like I was saying before, I don't want to feel like I'm cutting things out. I don't want to feel like I'm mm-hmm. foregoing my happiness so I can get to that place. Yes, there are going to be challenges and there are going to be sacrifices, but at the end of the day, I'm building the life that I want now, and I'm not going to wait 5 years from now or 10 years from now before I can start like enjoying life. So one example I always give, I was kind of alluding to it earlier. I had a week in October, November last year where I just went to Starbucks every day. Like, there's a Starbucks right outside my office at work. So mm-hmm. every day on the way in, I was getting coffee and I was spending like upwards of $30 a week. And I was like, this just doesn't align mm-hmm. with what I want right now. Like, I really want to be able to pay off my credit cards and be able to have that behind me. And I just couldn't really figure out a way to cut my expense. Like, I kept looking through my budget, like combing it back and forth. I was like, I don't know. And I just had to realize you're spending so much money on coffee. Like, what's that about? And everyone says like, oh, make your coffee at home. And I was like, I don't like the Keurig coffee. Like, it's not like what I get at Starbucks.
It's not the
like,
same.
I don't like
it's
it.
Not
like,
the same. Yeah, I get it.
I don't want that. Like, I'll have my Keurig coffee and still walk into Starbucks that morning and just pour my other coffee
that.
Down the drain. Like, I don't care. But I was watching someone's video and they had an espresso with the milk froth there. And I was like, that mm-hmm. kind of gives me like the luxury that I want with my coffee and why I go to Starbucks. So I ended up getting an espresso for Christmas. And I loved it because what I found was a lot of the purchases that we make have an emotion tied to it. And if you mm-hmm. can tap into what that emotion is and recreate that in a less expensive way, you can save money a lot more easily because you're not feeling like you're denying yourself of something or you're putting something off. So self-care is really just prioritizing your happiness and desire over the quote-unquote saving money portion. Not to mm-hmm. say we shouldn't save, but if you can't connect your intention and your why to it, it's not going to happen. Like, there have been so many times mm-hmm. where I'm like, okay, I'm going to save $1,000. And it didn't happen because I didn't want it badly enough or I didn't care enough. And it didn't seem worth it. I didn't want to, mm-hmm. like, put off my happiness and joy for it. So find ways to still, like, identify what you want and what makes you happy and find ways to still have that, but maybe with a lesser price tag attached to it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I guess on that note, kind of more tangible tips that people can apply, mm-hmm. especially when it comes to, I think we're in this huge world now where it's like, and I've definitely contributed to it, but I think I associate treating myself with a financial purchase. You know, I'll be like, oh, I'm treating myself. I'm getting myself a luxury item or it could be smaller scale. You know, I'm treating myself. I'm getting myself a Starbucks today. Of course, it can be anything. But for some reason, it seems that that's always tied to something financial. So how can we treat ourselves but not take it too far?
Yeah, so I love telling people, like, give yourself a $10 treat day. If you don't want to spend any money, spend 10 minutes on yourself doing something. Spend 10 minutes going for a walk. Like, just get in the habit of actually caring for yourself and not, because I am really bad about self-sabotage and self-destructive behaviors.
Mm-hmm.
And that comes through, like, spending too much money on myself, spending way too much time watching Netflix when I really don't need that to recuperate and all that. Like, I'm just trying to avoid something. So yeah. Sitting down and still figuring out ways, just like challenge yourself to do it without money for a little bit. And I also, again, super into the treat yourself stuff. But I think something that's helped for me is making myself wait a little bit. I get really into FOMO. I forget what it was that somebody mentioned. Oh, kind of niche, but my family gets on like a Zoom call every week, and it's really cool with like COVID and everything going on. And I kept seeing like all my aunts and cousins with braids, and I was like, oh, I want braids. And that required me to get online and like order like all the stuff, all the hair gels and combs and all that stuff, braiding hair to like do it. And I realized I don't even want to braid my hair. Like, I just got caught up in a moment of like, oh, they have that, I want that. So sit down with something and like really think about it. I this might seem like extra to people, but I really have to sit down and write out why I want something and like give myself like a mini essay. And if it's BS, I know it's BS, because I'm just really bad about stuff like that. So I have to really know like, this is going to add a benefit to my life. This is going to help me in this way. And if not, I leave it. And sometimes it's hard and I don't always do it. And I fall short of my goals. I ordered Uber Eats earlier today when I told myself I wasn't going to do that this week. And here we are. But I think also another thing that helps is having accountability partners, telling your friends like, hey, I'm really trying to like save this amount of money, or I'm trying, not even if you're not trying to save money, but I'm trying to cut out this behavior, or I'm trying to do this. Could you help keep me accountable? Or maybe even could you come along with me and like sign up too?
That's
like,
not great. Do it,
like just something so that we can both have each other for support. All of those things. I would say first, like I said, exchanging time for money and just trying it out in that way. Also thinking about time as money. Like if you want a bag that's $1,000, with your current job, how many hours would it take for you to earn the value of that bag? Mm-hmm. Like, you know, think like when I start putting things in different perspectives like that, it's like, okay, if I'm going to work that hard, is that what I want? And sometimes it is, and that's just the reality of it. But when you, if you do make a purchase like that, you want to know in full confidence that you did it because it was right and not because you had any other reason behind it, and that it was the right thing and that you felt right about it. I also keep a list of things that I really want. I've been talking about wanting a Nintendo Switch for months now because everyone had one.
I love mine, I will say.
Oh my God, I do. I'm going to move it to the front of my list now. But like a Nintendo Switch, a new laptop, I keep a spreadsheet of like the items that I really want to buy, and the prices that go along with them. And whenever I'm having a moment of wanting Uber Eats or wanting an extra bottle of wine that exceeds my grocery budget, I try to remind myself to look at the list and be like, okay, am I willing to like put off this item for this thing, this short-term thing? Am I willing to put it off? And most of the time, the answer is no. So that's pretty much it. And I also, like, final tip. I know I'm throwing a lot out, but...
No, just keep going.
I have to do things with my hands. People don't, like, recognize that, but I am, so, like, my phone's in my hand all the time, and it's so easy. I have gone times where I've been talking myself out of a purchase for the whole day, but it takes 1 second for me to click buy now in a moment of weakness, and all that day's, like, efforts are gone. So if I can remove my phone from my hands and, like, go crochet or go journal or make a list or, like, just sit in the bathtub where I'm too afraid to, like, have my phone in my hand and I'm going to drop it, something like that, just basically as a distraction so that I can really step away from it and then realize, okay, I didn't really want it that badly anyway. Like, I'm chasing after this one thing, or I'm running away from this other thing. So usually I can get down to the bottom of what really is going on.
I feel that. I'm a very, very impulsive person, so I feel that with the purchases, even if it's something small or large, if I'm out in like a social setting, I could so easily be persuaded to buy things, or even just self-talk. Like, I'll be like, I need it right now. I can't. Or even when, you know, there's the option on the websites for like expedited shipping, I convince myself, I'm like, oh no, I need it tomorrow. Yeah. Like,
and I'm really bad about too, like convincing myself of like, this is going to help you in the future. Like, you're going to be happier. So self-care, you're going to make more money with this just because like you're happy.
So
you really have to get ahead of yourself and know what those little like voices are going to say to you, so you can anticipate it ahead of time.
Totally agree. So kind of shifting, I wanted to talk about the self-care element and just like mental well-being in a pandemic, because I think obviously we know it's so important to focus on yourself at this time, and so important to prioritize you and your mental health, whatever that means to you, if it's, you know, talking to someone, or if it's, you know, I don't even know, practicing greater self-care, inward reflection, whatever it may be. What do you have to say about this? Like, what do you do? What are steps that you take?
Yeah, so I started 2020 with therapy because it was something I really wanted to implement. And I knew that I wanted to do big things this year, but I was going to have to step out of my own self to, like, do it. And I really needed help with that. I'm very reflective. I think very critically about self-care. So I think I'm really good at that stuff. But at the end of the day, like, we can only do so much for ourselves, and someone who has studied it and is a professional in that area has so much more to offer me than I can offer myself. So therapy was important for me at the start of the year. And then the pandemic hit, and I remember walking out of my office because it was spring break at my university. Mm-hmm. So I was like walking out, and I looked over and told my boss, like, we're both like smiling, and she was starting a podcast at that point. I already had a podcast, but it was like not like, it wasn't where it is now, but I just looked over at her and I was like, yeah, when we come back in 3 weeks, I'm going to have the biggest podcast and blah, blah, blah. I'm going to do so much work whenever we're off, and I'm going to be able to achieve all this. And that didn't happen. And that's like, okay, like I had to keep reminding myself, like, stop beating yourself up because you feel like you have all this extra free time. Like, you're in a pandemic. Like, this is weird. Like, none of this is normal at all. So why are you putting normal expectations on yourself? And I found that self-care is not going to be glamorous. I'm not going to have something pretty to Instagram every single mm-hmm. time. Like, I'm still a human being as well. And so I had to really practice some grace with myself in that front. And I've been encouraging people just to handle your basic needs. Try your best to drink enough water, have regular meals, and get sleep. If that's all you have, if that's all the energy that you have to give, like, just do that. That will do so much more than trying to force yourself to do this whole huge, pretty, glamorous self-care practice. Just handle what you need at first. And if you have energy to give extra, then do that. And I've been doing that for myself as well. And I've also had to just supply myself with so much affirmation and tell myself it's okay that that's all I do. If that's the only thing I do, I'm doing enough. I've had people, you know, my platform is still very small, but I've had people reach out to me about certain things and be like, why haven't you spoken about this? And why haven't you done this and this? And I'm like, I think y'all forget I'm also being affected by all of this. Like, seeing Breonna Taylor being killed, now that affects me as a Black woman living by myself. Like, I have had to take a moment to step back and recuperate and kind of recharge. And now I'm ready to give a little bit more. But my first priority will always be me. And I'm going to do it tier by tier by tier. I'm going to be drinking water. I'm going to be getting sleep. I'm going to be eating as well as I can. And then working from there. Start at the bottom. Work your way up and don't feel pressure to do it in a certain speed. I would always encourage, and please, please, please don't be ashamed to get extra help and reach out to people. And I would encourage you, like, yes, utilize your friends and all that, but understand that they're people as well. And mm-hmm. they're not professionals, unless of course you do have therapist friends. It's a totally different situation. But, you know, if you need extra help from people who know a little bit more, don't be ashamed or afraid to reach out.
Yeah, I love what you said there about basic needs first, and it doesn't need to be super glamorous. I think that's so important during this time. And so many people, I've even received the comments of, you're so lazy. It seems like you're not working enough. I'm like, everybody's going through this at their own pace. Can I think we all are cut slack across the world right now. Like, it doesn't matter what your situation is. Even if you still have your job and things are relatively, quote, normal, it doesn't matter. Like, we're all going through it. We're all making these adaptations to our life as we can. So mm-hmm. thank you so much for sharing that. Yeah. And I think that what you harped on is so important. And yeah, I mean, I love a good face mask. I love a good bath. I love a good watch Netflix for 5 straight hours.
Absolutely.
completely. But some days it literally is just the bare minimum. Mm-hmm. And I always say it's okay to not be okay 100% of the time. I mean, not that you should feel that way like all the time. I obviously like speak to people and you know, get help of course as you need. But I think it's normal for someone to not feel 100% or to cancel on plans and be like, I don't want to see my friends today. You know, I just want to like lay in bed and like drink my water and like have a meal.
Someone I follow, her name's Kimberly Wenya. She's like a mindset coach. But she shared on like a little audio thing she did. Imagine like every emotion being a different color and someone telling you that you need to be happy all the time and happy is like pink or whatever. You wouldn't really mm-hmm. want to look at a painting that was just pink. Like, you want like it to be fully like formed and like everything and all mm-hmm. of, so that takes the sad yellow and like the blue and all that stuff. Like, it all goes into the same like image and the same masterpiece. We need all of it.
You're so right. Yeah. I think that there also, we could talk about like the correlation kind of between mental health and self-care. I'm mm-hmm. not going to sit here and I never want to claim that, you know, of course, yes, it helps. Taking care of yourself could obviously help your mental state and everything. But I'm not one to believe, like, I think that it could be a factor to help. But at the same time, you know, just because you make yourself an espresso coffee in the morning,
exactly.
it doesn't make you happier. It doesn't cover up or like mm-hmm. put a bandage over everything else that's going on in your life? Like, what do you have to say on that?
Yeah, so for me, self-care, I think that's the biggest thing that made me do gentler is self-care mm-hmm. is anything that gets you feeling. Like, it doesn't have to be those, like, fun coffee dates or bubble baths and all that. It's self-care to call your therapist and be like, I need an extra session this week. Mm-hmm. Or it's self-care to end that relationship that's no longer serving you. Or self-care mm-hmm. to tell your parents, like, can you please stop commenting on my weight whenever I come home? Like, that is all self-care. Like, it's all involved with it. So whatever you do, and sometimes you won't feel better after doing an act of self-care right away. It's not going to be mm-hmm. instant gratification, but you know that you're bettering your life and your condition and yourself. Anything that you do that points you a little bit closer to that ideal state, to your dream version of you, and not just visually, physical stuff aside, like, just, like, the inside, like, do you feel more confident? Do you feel more in love with yourself? Like, are you genuinely happier? And not meaning that you're happy all the time, but that you can mm-hmm. look at your life and be like, I'm proud of what I've put together. That's all self-care.
I completely agree. And I think happier, I agree with what you said there. I try to look at it as like an average
yeah.
and like, you know, just over this sum of days, I was in a better mood comparatively to like another point in my life, because not every day is good. I completely agree with you on that. And I love the tangible steps that you gave there in terms of self-care. You know, sometimes it is, like you said, having a conversation with a friend that might not be something that you want to talk about right. or something. But in the end, if it's going to help that relationship, that is self-care. Mm-hmm. So definitely agree with that. And I also really like what you said about that your friends don't have the answers to everything, because I frequently feel this way. I feel like, especially recently, I've been putting a lot on my friends, and you're making me realize this now. So I feel like I need to have some conversations with them and just realize that dumping your issues, of course, it's healthy to like discuss your problems and stuff, but that's it's not their burden to carry. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and I think a lot of times too, like, as the friend who often gets like stuff like thrown on me, mm-hmm. I want to help so much. I genuinely don't know how all the time. Like, I don't know how to like tell you to navigate through a situation. I can tell you what I would do, and a lot of times people tell me I'm wise and do whatever, but I'm also just Maya, you know? Like, I don't know like all like mm-hmm. the research behind it, but I would absolutely love to help you find resources and all of that. Like, I want to give because I'm your friend and I love you and I definitely want to help. It's just my capabilities only go so far.
That's important, and it's important to remember. It doesn't matter, even if your friend is an expert, like, the, mm-hmm. there is a certain point where it stops.
Yeah,
I definitely agree. I also just wanted to kind of end off on a more positive note. I guess, what are just some other things that you do in terms of, I know you live like this kind of more spiritual, just like, I don't know what the word is, but kind of, it seems like, enlightened life. Do you journal? Do you always read? Like, what are some things that they don't even necessarily have to be self-care? But I know for me, like, journaling helps a lot.
Yeah.
And honestly, I watch a lot of Netflix and that like recharges me. Like, what are some things that you do to genuinely?
So I journal a lot, and I have to keep things fresh for myself that I get bored. I need like stimulation. But one thing, like a fun way of journaling that I always do, like I said, I study English and film, so I love writing and I would love to be a writer full time. I love writing, like journaling, as if I'm writing a book about myself and I'm like the main character.
Yeah.
And I'll just like, she did this and that, and like just kind of like in third person, just because
well,
it also
cool.
is like helping you like reframe the way you think about things, and you're like, that would be really cool. And then you, when you base the whole character off of you, it creates less distance between you and an ideal version. And you're like, you know, everything else about her is the same as me. Why couldn't I go and do those things? And why couldn't mm-hmm. I achieve those goals? And it adds like a little bit freshness to the whole process for me. I also love Netflix. Totally spend way too much time on Netflix. But again, I think that really helps because I grew up in rural Arkansas. I didn't know like what options and what things were available all the time with life. Like, I had no idea some of the adventures I'd be on in my life were even available. So Netflix kind of like shows you, like, I tell people all the time, if when you're sitting down trying to visualize your ideal life and you have nowhere to start, watch a show that makes you feel good, or a movie where you're like, this is so cool. Like, the first time I saw The Devil Wears Prada, I was like, that's what I'm going for. Like, that exact thing. And I had never seen anything like it. And I think, you know, that's probably like a cliche thing to say, but I loved it. So I totally do that. Spend way too much time on TikTok. Way too much time. It's embarrassing at this point.
Same. Do you vision board?
I do. So I vision board mainly on Pinterest now. I'll just like make a board, and I typically do it around my birthday. So last Saturday was my birthday, so I sat down and like got on
Happy
Pinterest.
Happy birthday.
Thank you. And I just like made like a board called 24, and I just have some images that kind of reflect some of the goals I want to do. But I'm realizing like as I get older, like I care less about the, like at, for 23, I was like, I want to hit this credit score and I want to like hit this number in my bank account. And I was looking over my year 23 intentions in my notes app. Everything almost was a failure just because of it was impossible with the year that we've had.
Totally.
But, you know, it made me refocus a lot of the things. Like, I really want to be more confident and I want to show up for myself a little bit more in my goals and be a little bit more disciplined in the things I say I want to do. So I vision board through that and just kind of, you know, what makes me feel like that and what inspires that inside of me. And I'm trying to make it a practice this year to really look at my vision board every day or look at my list of goals every day just so I can keep my mind focused on it and not forget things. Because I noticed when I was looking at my 23 like intentions, I had forgotten a lot of the stuff that I wanted to do, and so naturally like I swayed away from it. But I really want to keep all of that in the forefront of my mind, and I'm a weekend, so who knows what's going to happen like come June or something. But like I'm going to try my best to look into it.
Yeah. And just ending it off with a question of balance, because it seems like with your full time job and then you have your podcast, you have your website, you have ebooks and things.
Yeah.
So how do you make time to do it all? Is it like work ends and you go to work, or do you give yourself a little break, or do you work on weekends?
I try to work on weekends. And when life was still going on as normal, I would leave work and go to the Wing. There's like a Wing location in Georgetown. I loved it because it just kind of helped me like physically shift things and also mentally. And can't go to the Wing right now, obviously, but again, there's an emotion that's tapped into it. So if I can find ways to recreate that and just kind of form some excitement around my work, I do that. But now with work from home, I do find myself working a lot more throughout the week just because I'm here already and the transition's a little bit easier. So I'll try to get up a little bit early and do stuff for Gentler before work. And then I feel like I'm a morning person, so my best brain power is in the morning. So I try to do things before like 9 a.m. with that. And I focus exclusively on the things that are going to move me forward the most. I don't spend a lot of time like liking and commenting on other people's Instagram accounts anymore because the payoff is just very little compared to other things. So, you know, I identify what moves me forward the most. I work on those things and I make sure to take breaks because I think I do much better well rested and energized and rejuvenated than I would even if I got like 50 tasks done, but I was burning myself out every day.
I think it's important to harp on the breaks thing. And I think it's, of course, very healthy for people to have side hustles, but I think it has to be in balance. It can't be like your work. Like, it can't just be like the clock is all work in different forms. I think there needs to be some element of whatever we just said, you know, if it's Netflix, if it's hanging out with a friend, if it's calling a friend, if it's playing with your dog.
Yes. Which,
do you feel like having the dog is manageable with everything, or how is that?
I went to pick her up in Pennsylvania like the Saturday quarantine began. I had no idea what going to happen. I spring break was starting and I took off an extra week after that so we could have more time and adjust. But honestly, like, I feel like it's all kind of worked. There are things I could have done better and differently as far as like getting her crate trained and all of that, but she's been such an emotional support for me. Like, had no choice but to make it work because I needed it to. So, and I also feel like I tell people this all the time. I'm so chaotic when it comes to like getting people to get dogs. I'm like, it's really not that much work. Just get one. Like, it's fine. Like, it's cool. And she's a really smart breed, luckily. So a lot of things weren't as difficult, but it is work. I'm picking up pee and poop every single day. Mm-hmm. And I'm waking up in the middle of the night and sometimes stepping into a pool of liquid. Like, it's kind of those things, but honestly, like, I love her so much. Like, I just kind of like gruff and rumble about it, but still do it. I you know, it's whatever. But I think it's been really good for me to have those breaks a little bit more easily, because she's gonna make me. She's gonna want to come over with her chew toy and make me toss it around a few times. I'm gonna have to take a break. I'm gonna have to get up at meal times because I have to feed her. You know, I'm not gonna look at her and be like, I'm working on something. You can't eat dinner tonight. Like, and it, you know, while I'm up, I'm like, let me actually get my own dinner, and it just helps me keep my self care a little bit more structured as well.
I love that. All right. Well, I think we can end off the episode. You gave so many valuable tips throughout, but I feel like on your social, like on your platforms, even on your website, I was so much information on your website. So if you could plug all of your stuff, how our listeners could find you.
So the Gentler Instagram account is at gentlerpod, GENTLERPOD. And then the website is www.begentler.com. And the podcast is available on any podcast streaming platforms. And we have ebooks, blog posts. I try to keep something available for like every tier. Like, you do not have to spend money to engage with my material. If you do, that's great, obviously, but I want it to be useful, whether you're getting free content or not.
Well, thank you so much for coming on. I hope you guys enjoyed this episode. Go check her out. Thank her for coming on, and we will talk to you guys next week. Bye.
Mother's Day is just around the corner, which means it's time to find a gift. I always try to decide what to get my mom because I always am so proud of what I get her and she's always so excited. So I feel like each year it just gets hyped up more and more and I just have to keep impressing her, even though she would literally just love a hug, probably the same as your mom's too. But I love using a gift guide to find a perfect gift for my mom. Because she doesn't want anything. She just wants love. But she also does get excited when I give her a gift. So Macy's actually has a Mother's Day gift guide that's perfect. You can shop by price. So they have 25 and under to 100 and under. They have categories like fragrance, handbags, and more. Or you can use the gift list, like for the mom who has everything. Or gifts that are already wrapped and ready to be gifted. And for grandma. There's so many different options that Macy's has. Some of their top gifts are the Dolce & Gabbana Devotion Eau de Parfum, Coach Floral Printed Leather Cassie Crossbody Bag, and the Le Creuset Charlotte Dutch Oven, of course. So you can shop all of this at Macy's.com/giftfinder.